Welcome to New World Notes. I am Kenneth Doust. A few weeks back, we looked at cell phones and one problem with them. Electronic gizmos require certain minerals, and resource wars to control the mining, smuggling, and sale of those minerals are causing almost unbelievable human devastation in the Congo. Today we'll take a look at a second problem, even more invisible than the first. Electromagnetic radiation, EMR. Specifically, radio frequency radiation. Radio frequency has terrible health effects on humans. Scientists have known this since the 1950s, and they know it with great certainty today. Yet telecom companies are immersing us in a sea of electromagnetic radiation that is getting much worse very rapidly. We'll hear about it from three sources. First, a great introduction by psychotherapist Chelis Glendinning. Then, parts of a public lecture from 1998 by the late scientist Professor Neil Cherry. Finally, we'll hear an interesting story on the CIA's Project Pandora of the early 1960s. Like Project MKUltra, Pandora involved experiments on American citizens who had not consented to be guinea pigs. It's quite a story, and I hope you'll stay tuned. Let's start with Chelis Glendinning. I'll read parts of her article in Counterpunch from October 2008, slightly condensed for radio. I'll read the rest of the article, too, when time permits. It's called Wireless Mind, Gullible Mind. Glendinning begins, I have been contemplating the infamous Trojan horse, because another mighty horse has been steered into our midst, and we have thrown open the gates to welcome it in. I refer to the onslaught of wireless technologies in the form of microwave towers, satellites showering the planet with radiation, wireless fidelity or Wi-Fi ports, wireless interoperability for microwave access antennas, that's WiMAX, plus all the gadgets they make possible. Cordless phones, pagers, Blackberries, roving laptops, wireless water meters, satellite TV and radio, in-flight internet. I am referring also to the electromagnetic weapons, radar-emitting stations, surveillance instruments, and crowd control devices that the military and law enforcement deploy. These sources of non-ionizing electromagnetic radiation, or radio frequency, present a frightening specter. Some 3,000-plus medical, biological, and epidemiological studies have demonstrated links between exposure and deterioration of the blood-brain barrier that blocks viruses and bacteria. DNA damage, leukemia, nervous system disorders, immune deficiency, heart arrhythmias and coronaries, insomnia, anxiety, depression, memory loss, dizziness, deafness, brain tumors, etc. And who is poised to slam the gates on this interloper? Not many. Somehow a population with DDT, the Dalkon Shield, Three Mile Island, and Agent Orange under its belt is mustering up the same old psychological defenses it used to not learn from those debacles. Ken speaking here. Let's postpone Glendinning's interesting catalog of the psychological defense mechanisms people use to deny that a problem exists. We'll jump ahead to more of her explanation of what the problem is. Back to the text. Now, both Democrats and Republicans are throwing open the gates for the industry's plot to build a national smart grid that will leave no inch of North America un-WiMAXed. Already, illnesses that were fairly unusual have become normal. Diabetes, asthma, testicular cancer, brain tumors, malignant melanoma, immune deficiency, chronic fatigue, childhood cancers, sleep dysfunction, autism, multiple sclerosis, hypothyroidism, anxiety disorders, epilepsy, strokes, heart attacks. Wireless 101. When the microwave was first unveiled, consumers were told to jump back after turning it on. The radiation in a microwave oven is the same as what comes off a cell tower or an iPhone. The only difference? The industry decided not to warn you anymore. A significant increase in cancer, particularly breast and brain, occurs within 3/4 of a mile of a cell tower. When not being used but still turned on, cell phones draw down radio frequency waves. Men who wear cell phones on their belts can get testicular cancer. If you can walk around talking on your house phone, it is cordless, read wireless, and has the same impact as a cell phone. Worse, the base station is your own, private, in-house, 24/7 cell tower. The more data transmitted, the more radiation is required. Ergo, Wi-Fi, which can send written data and photos, is more toxic than simple cell phone messages. WiMAX, which can handle movies, videos, and huge transfers of written material, is more dangerous than Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi extends 300 feet from its port. When you turn it on in your house, you contaminate your neighbors. Hybrid cars infuse drivers and passengers with electromagnetic radiation. Compact fluorescent lights can trigger migraine headaches, dizziness, and epileptic seizure. Laboratory animals implanted with radio-transmitting ID chips display an increase in malignant tumors, with a cancer often wrapped around the implant. This is the same device sold in pet stores to keep track of your beloved animal people. Radio frequency from towers causes forest die-offs, bird deaths, and cancer in farm animals. Some people can feel electromagnetic radiation, between 4% and 30%. They get heart palpitations, dizziness, brain fog, visual light flashes, and ringing in the ears. Many people don't feel anything, and some do, but have no idea why they feel ill. The more radiation you are exposed to, the more likely you are to develop sensitivity. Scientists are exploring a causal relationship between the proliferation of wireless technologies and global warming, which stands to reason when you think about how hot a microwave oven gets. So concludes this part of Wireless Mind, Gullible Mind. Let me add a few personal reflections. Electromagnetic radiation, specifically radio frequency, really caught my attention recently when a newspaper photograph showed a technician with a meter measuring radio frequency levels at Jones Beach. That's New York City's large public beach out on Coney Island. Turns out some telecom company is turning all of Jones Beach into a WiMAX hotspot. As Glenn Dinning explains, WiMAX hotspots are just like Wi-Fi hotspots, except with much more radiation. Just what every crowded public beach needs, right? My wife's new laptop computer arrived with supplementary full-size keyboard and mouse, both cordless. The need for a cordless keyboard or cordless mouse eludes me, but both gizmos are transmitting radio frequency, courtesy of Bluetooth. I'm a worse offender, though. Years ago, I purchased a cordless phone for the house. That has a base station attached to the wall and a cordless handset you can carry around the house. As Glenn Dinning says, a cordless phone is much the same as a cell phone, except that the transmitting tower is now right inside your house. Then I made matters 20 times worse by signing up with a phone company for a DSL high-speed internet connection. The package came with a wireless internet gateway, which I gather effectively turns my house into a Wi-Fi hotspot. But not my house only. My computer now detects the presence of 4 different wireless internet gateways. This means that I and 3 of my neighbors are mutually irradiating one another. Did I mention that I cleverly located my gateway transmitter within 4 feet of all my vital organs? I put a power switch on the gateway, and I'm trying to remember to shut the thing off when nobody's actually using the internet. Our family almost never uses our one cell phone, which is good because the phone's transmitting antenna is right next to one's brain. And I'm lobbying my household to let me replace the cordless with a wired phone and a long cord. Even so, that won't protect us from radio frequency radiation from any cell phone towers or WiMAX transmitters there may be in the neighborhood. It's everywhere. The dimmer switch on our dining room lamp puts out enough RF to destroy AM radio reception anywhere in the house. And if you are hearing me on broadcast radio, guess what is bringing these words to your radio receiver? Yep, radio frequency electromagnetic radiation. Though at a much lower level than your cell phone is pumping into your brain. The late scientist Neil Cherry did much to make the public aware of the dangers behind electromagnetic radiation, abbreviated EMR, and aware of the solid science behind these cautions. We'll hear portions of a talk he gave back in 1998, courtesy of tucradio.org. Cherry begins by describing how the body generates its own very low-level electromagnetic signals to regulate body processes. You've heard of an electroencephalogram, EEG, and an electrocardiogram, EKG. These are images produced by the body's own electromagnetic transmissions from the brain and heart, respectively. Disrupting these delicate transmissions with EMR from your cell phone that is a million times stronger could not possibly be good for your health. Cherry then discusses the specific mechanisms by which external EMR causes disease. Specifically, by breaking chromosomes, interfering with the level of calcium ions in cells, and reducing melatonin. It's a little technical, but I'm hoping you'll find it interesting. Cherry refers to the electromagnetic bombardment of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow in the 1960s. That's the subject of this show's final part on Project Pandora. Here's Dr. Cherry.
Human intelligent life is based on EMR-programmed brains. Now think about it. That's what you're doing at the moment. You're looking at me, and you're creating a series of electric signals through nerve fibers that are going from your retina to your brain. Molecules can't go that fast. Electrons can, electric fields can. They can move at almost the speed of light, but they can't in nerve fibers, but pretty fast. Your mind is far better than a TV set, a TV camera, the cables, the screen. You're doing it right now. And not only that, you're reaching back into your memory where the biochemistry has stored memories from the past. Language, images, smells, emotions are all stored there in a complex fashion between the electromagnetic fields and the biochemistry, the nerves, axons, etc. This is Henry's area, not mine. But think about it, that's what we're doing. So we can have an retinogram. You can look at the electric signals coming from the eyes. You can do an EEG and say, yes, this person is asleep. This person is awake. This person is thinking. This person is excited. This person is having an epileptic fit. That's the bottom one. Because electromagnetic fields are intrinsic to us. They are in us. We can measure them. Our heartbeat. You have the ECG, electrocardiogram. The only thought pattern you have to change is that electromagnetic fields are not there in the steeple coming from the cell site. They are in us. They are us. They are our intelligence. They are our cells. We have to look at the effect of exposures on populations. We do. Ourselves. And on our cells. That's part of this new way of thinking. We are a group of cells that are programmed by our DNA, electromagnetic radiation, our genes, etc. And we in populations have widely diverse genes, experiences, histories, health levels. We have those who are electrosensitive, those who are extremely vulnerable, and those who are fit and well and can fight. And the trouble I have found with many of these tower debates, those close to the towers, their health and their brains are affected so that they feel tired and helpless and get more tired and more helpless. We have to be out there in the large. Given that this is the natural environment, what happens when you introduce cell phones? Dr. Epicholi exposed 100 mice to a GSM cell phone signal, and 100 mice weren't exposed, and they doubled the lymphomas and the B cells. It was an largely industry-funded project in Australia. Telstra in Australia funded two projects to assure the public that these things were safe. Cell sites were safe. They did a study in North Sydney. It showed a doubling of the cancer in children around FM TV sites because that was the nearest thing we had to an analog cell phone signal, an FM signal, and in a residential situation. That study's been criticised, but the criticism shows a dose-response relationship, which is interesting because that in epidemiology starts to get quite compelling. But the Repicholi study, the exposed and the unexposed. So these mice got twice as many cancers. They were not in a cell phone signal. They were in a far field signal. The signal was about a metre or so from the mice. And this was for half an hour twice a day, 1 hour a day, doubled the lymphomas in these sensitive mice. So cell phones cause a doubling of cancer. Cell site analog, because when you're looking at cancer, latencies are very long, 8, 10, 20, 40 years. So you won't see the cancers coming in from cell phones for quite a long time. The Belgians looked at a cell phone antenna. They found that there was more broken DNA, more damage, genetic damage from an antenna. The Norwegian-Swedish study studied 10,000 people, and what they found was there was a dose-response relationship for dizziness, discomfort, concentration, memory loss, fatigue, headache, a feeling of warmth on the ear, warmth behind the ear, tinglingness, and other symptoms. A dose-response relationship with calls per day and with times of calls per day. This is only neurological. It's only your brain being affected. Cell phone users, thousands of them. And around the world, this is a very consistent report. And so the neurological effects which we saw from the changing solar activity at picowatts per square centimetre are seen when you expose your brain to millions of picowatts per square centimetre. That's not a surprise, is it? Because we're talking here about milliwatts and microwatts. Milli is a thousandth, micro a millionth, a pico is a million millionth. So we're talking here at very large factors. So I am not surprised when I look at the long-term human biometeorological studies and see all these symptoms that we are now seeing them with cell phones. Are you? Because the exposures are a million times higher. And it affects a larger and larger proportion of the population. Because in the first studies, it was a very small proportion of the population. We're now getting up to 30% of the users. 12% of the users. Epidemiology worries about going from 1 in a million to 10 in a million. This is percentage, 10%, 30% of the population who use cell phones are seeing these symptoms. And that's not surprising because the exposures are higher than you get in military studies. Do you realise that? The average exposure of a person's head using a cell phone is far higher than you get as an Air Force pilot flying with radar. Because it's right by your head, and you're doing it for hours a day. I talked in detail with Stanislaw Szymigielski, who's done the Polish military studies. He was with us in Vienna. No way were his people exposed to these sorts of levels. Another study by Liebrich von Klitzing at Lübeck in Germany showed that volunteers exposed to a cell phone-like signal changed the EEG from a delta state to an alpha state within seconds. And that is quite a worrying thing. Again, it's evidence straight from cell phones. Homeostasis. There's an optimal amount of melatonin, which is required to keep cancer cells in check. There's an optimal amount of calcium ions to keep a heart beating. So there is evidence of homeostasis required at all levels, at the whole body level, down to the cellular level, at the population level, at the personal level, at the cellular level. What's the biological mechanism for these changes? Now, a study was done on monkeys showing that their reaction time changed. A study is done on human beings showing that their reaction time changed. At the cellular level, calcium ions are flying out of the cell or into the cell. If you look at the medical literature, the role of calcium ions is multitude. It's fundamental. So we have here the biological mechanism is calcium ion change in the cells can change the future of that cell. If it's a brain cell, it changes the behavior, changes the reaction time, changes the memory of the person. It's an indication that EMR is changing the basic EMR pattern. And when you understand there's an EMR pattern that's being interfered with, then it happens at far lower levels than if you're inducing a change from outside. It's a subtle rhythmic change inside. I found a couple of fascinating papers recently in the journal called Neurology. The first one said people exposed to EMR get more Alzheimer's disease, which is a neurodegenerative problem. which shows that probably there has been some increased cell death. These people said, let's look at a mechanism for this. And so they went forward and said, oh, yes, there are changes in particular enzymes down here, the SA beta, etc. But what does it start with? Calcium ion homeostasis has been interrupted. The initiation of this is calcium ion change. The fact that we can change calcium ions at extremely low levels of exposure across the spectrum in windows of exposure, the lowest we've got down to in published literature is 0.8 microwatts per square centimetre. So let's do an experiment. Let's irradiate a population with a radar. This is called the Moscow Embassy experiment, the US Embassy in Moscow. The Lilienfeld report has no evidence of health effects apart from the data itself. That's a key issue in science, and I teach my students when they're looking at these studies, look at the data, not the conclusions of the abstract. So John Goldsmith and I have been through some of these tables, and this is the result. We find neurological effects. Depression, irritability, loss of concentration, and memory loss were significantly changed in the population exposed compared to the unexposed. Contrary to the press, they also found broken chromosomes. And there are studies showing if you increase the chromosomes breakage, then you increase the cancer. The military studies, the residential studies, show most strongly increases in leukemia and brain tumour. Now, my simple hypothesis on that is leukemia is a whole body thing. Bone marrow, blood, all the cells throughout the body. What does EMR expose most? Any particular organ? No, the whole body. The second most frequently observed cancer is brain cancer. What's the most sensitive electrical organ in our body? Our brains and our central nervous system. My paper in Vienna was about brain tumour and should cell phones have health warnings. I have 23 studies now showing epidemiologically increased brain tumour in EMR-exposed people.
On to Moscow. Here I am greatly condensing a discussion of Project Pandora from October 2008, which is part of a symposium on worldcrossing.com. In the 1950s, the Soviets began directing radar-like electromagnetic radiation, EMR, at the United States Embassy in Moscow. The United States discovered it had a real problem in the early 1960s when it found a range of physical and mental illnesses among embassy employees. Casualties included the U.S. ambassador, who contracted leukemia. The U.S. had discovered the electromagnetic irradiation of the embassy by 1962. Various agencies began investigating. The initial investigation was by the CIA and was called Project Pandora. Related investigations with different names were soon added. A number of these were conducted by the military. According to a consultant brought in by the CIA, the Moscow signal was composed of several frequencies, and it was focused each day on the U.S. ambassador's office. After establishing the damages to health that the radiation caused, U.S. officials waited 10 years before informing embassy staff that their lives were in danger. In the interim, U.S. intelligence operations and military operations conducted many studies of the bad effects of the electromagnetic radiation on the human guinea pigs in the embassy. And on animals, too. Project Pandora brought monkeys into the embassy to test the effects on them, too. In April 1976, Secretary of State Henry Kissinger sent a telegram to the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. The telegram summarized the conclusions of the study of the Moscow signal, conclusions that had been reached 10 years earlier. Kissinger wrote, "Subject, radiation and UHF and electromagnetic dangers. Beginning in 1960, the Soviet Union directed the high-frequency beams of radiation at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, which were calculated to cause physiological effects on personnel. The effects the Soviets calculated to achieve included A. malaise, B. irritability, C. extreme fatigue. At the time, the Soviets believed that the induced effects were temporary. Subsequently, it has been verified that the effects are not temporary. Definitely tied to such radiation and the UHF-VHF electromagnetic waves are A. cataracts, B. blood changes that induce heart attacks, C, malignancies, D, circulatory problems, and E, permanent deterioration of the nervous system. In most cases, the after effects do not become evident until long after exposure, a decade or more. End of quoted telegram. There was consensus among researchers that the Moscow signal was designed to produce blurred vision and loss of mental concentration. The Boston Globe reported that the American ambassador had developed a leukemia-like blood disease and also suffered from bleeding eyes and chronic headaches. The monkeys developed blood anomalies and unusual chromosome counts. Embassy personnel were found to have a 40% higher than average white blood cell count. The U.S. government has carefully studied the electromagnetic signatures and examined health effects of the Moscow signal radiation. The job was turned over to the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. DARPA is now developing and testing new electromagnetic anti-personnel weaponry. Let me say that again. The Pentagon is developing and testing new electromagnetic anti-personnel weaponry. Summing up on my own now, by 1952, Russian scientists had realized that electromagnetic radiation is deadly. They tried and failed to persuade their American counterparts. By the mid-1960s, from the Moscow beam, the U.S. government understood just how deadly it was. They kept this information top secret. In 1976, even Secretary of State Kissinger acknowledged the deadliness. By 1998, Professor Neil Cherry could point to thousands of scientific papers confirming the harm electromagnetic radiation does to humans and other animals. Yet people keep holding a radio transmitter, which is a cell phone, next to their brain, in some cases for hours a day. Corporations keep installing new cell towers and Wi-Fi hotspots, and worse still, now, WiMAX hotspots. We are bathed in a thickening sea of electromagnetic radiation, and a sickening sea of silence on the deadly health effects. And, as long as the telecom companies remain big advertisers, don't look for any expose in any of the corporate-controlled commercial mass media. Thanks for listening, and thanks to cellist Glenn Denning and Counterpunch, Maria Gillardin and TUCRadio.org, and to Klaatu at worldcrossing.com. I'll post links to all three original uncut sources on the show's website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Illegitimi non carborundum, turn off that cell phone, and ciao.